Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us for today's brand new Healthline 3, where we love to focus on ways that we can all live a healthier and pain-free life. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be taking your calls and answering your questions. And the phone lines will be opening up. That number to call is 318-219-4569. We're excited to have today's featured guest, board-certified rheumatologist, Dr. Robert Goodman of the Arthritis and Rheumatology Clinic. Dr. Goodman, good to see you as always.
Glad to be here, Nate.
Hands down, one of the smartest medical professionals we have in the Arklatex. Fortunate to have Robert Goodman here today. And Dr. Goodman, today we're talking about something not the easiest name. I've been practicing this all morning long. Ankylosing spondylitis.
You got it.
So this, it may be easier to understand that it is saying it, but this certainly is an important thing. Give us an idea exactly what this is, Dr. Goodman, and I'm sure how some of our viewers that are watching right now, why they may be suffering from this and not even know.
Well, ankylosing spondylitis gives us the opportunity to talk about back pain. Mm-hmm. And rheumatologists divide back pain into two different groups. Those people that have common everyday back pain, that's mechanical back pain. And with our icy weather here in the Arklatex, people who would be shoveling snow or trying to get the ice off of their driveways, and after they've been doing a lot of physical activity, that would be classic mechanical back pain. That is also known as frequently that is due to osteoarthritis, which is also known as degenerative joint disease or degenerative disc disease. It's very common. Probably 50 or 60% of us will get osteoarthritis as we get older, and so it is extremely common. Less common, however, is inflammatory back pain. And ankylosing spondylitis, the topic today, occurs in about one person in 300 to about one person in 500. But identifying those, and for our viewers to see the difference between these two types of back pain, we'll give our viewers some additional information to help them if they are experiencing this very, very common symptom. Is it mechanical? Is it inflammatory?
And that is very important there. And, you know, obviously when it comes to, you said the word inflammatory there, the word that jumps out for me is the inflammation. So, yeah, would you break that down for us too, where that comes into play?
You know, Nate, the whole population experienced COVID in the past few years. And some strains of COVID would cause people to have certain symptoms, like they might lose their sense of smell for a while during mm-hmm. the time they have COVID. But the Omicron strain of COVID would cause bone pain, and the person, when they get out of bed, they say, oh my gosh, I've got this terrible back pain. And that is a classic inflammatory back pain that is due to an obvious cause, a virus. But there are some people that encounter maybe it's a bacteria, maybe it's a virus, and they deal with that inflammatory, and they deal with that infection, and their immune system then makes a mistake and continues to cause inflammation that causes ankylosing spondylitis. Wow. It tends to be a group of people that inherit this tendency. There is a genetic marker called HLA B27, which is present or positive in about 80 or 85% of people that suffer from ankylosing spondylitis. These patients tend to be men as opposed to women, and they may have cousins, they may have brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles who have more common psoriatic arthritis, or they may have family members that have Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. So there's something about the genetics of getting psoriatic arthritis, the genetics of getting Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, that they fall into this family of diseases which they get inflammatory problems. And some of those patients will get inflammatory problems of their skin, classic psoriasis. Some will get inflammatory problems with the small joints of their hands, classic psoriatic arthritis. Some will get inflammatory problems in the lining of their intestinal tract, which the gastroenterologist will scope them and find, oh, you have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. But some of them will get inflammation of the ligaments of their neck, the ligaments of their low back, their ligaments of the part of the back that attaches to the rib cage, and they get this condition called ankylosing spondylitis.
When you were just talking about that, what are some of the things that people first start to see when they notice? Does it start with a back pain and just maybe something mild, or I guess where does it start? What are the first couple triggers that people have when it comes to ankylosing spondylitis?
Ankylosing spondylitis, Nate, because it's not due to wear and tear, it tends to occur earlier in life. So you might get osteoarthritis. The wear and tear type of arthritis would be people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are shoveling the ice or snow, who are doing a lot of work in the yard. Mm-hmm. The classic case of ankylosing spondylitis is if you have a college student, somebody's in their early 20s, late teens, and a young man goes off to college and he has, when he gets out of bed in the morning, he feels extremely stiff in the low back, just above the pelvis, and that will be due to, we now know, is due to inflammation where the ligaments and tendons attach to the bones. We call that connection an enthesis, and so when that enthesis, that connection of ligaments and tendons to the bone of the neck and back, gets inflammation, we always put a suffix itis, I-T-I-S,
sure,
on the end of the word, and we call ankylosing spondylitis an enthesitis, and it tends to affect the neck, back, the rib cage. It can affect where the sacrum and ilium come together, which is the classic sacroiliac joints in the low back of the pelvis. That young man may be off at college and he feels stiff, and that stiffness might last till 10 or 11 o'clock or noontime, and he really hasn't been doing anything other than going to college classes or things of that nature. And we think something about his immune system may be inheriting that HLA-B27 marker, mm-hmm, but also some other features that we haven't figured out yet, medical science hasn't figured out yet, causes those patients to get this significant inflammation in the low back, the sacroiliac joints, the rib cage, and the neck.
When you were mentioning the fact that this can happen in 20 and 30-year-olds, this, you know, just wondering, looking back on my life, there were so many things that I had that I just kind of disregarded. This seems like something that somebody could live with for years before they actually determine, hey, this is what it is.
Well, a lot of times, you know, when we were in our 20s, we thought we were bulletproof. And so you would just take some ibuprofen, you take some Aleve, you do whatever you're doing as a 20 or 25 year old or a 30 year old. And that inflammation can continue and you just sort of tough it out. You mm-hmm. just sort of man up.
Sure.
I hope this kind of program kind of calls that to the attention of our viewers. They would then take medicines like ibuprofen or Aleve that they would get over the counter, but they're still having this pain. Maybe they come in for college break during Christmas or spring break or something, and they mention it to their parents. Their parents send them to a primary care physician, and at first, early on, the x-rays will look normal. But then the x-rays, if this inflammation continues to affect that connection between the ligaments and the bones, it will cause calcification of those ligaments, and the calcifications will go from one vertebral body to the next, and from the next vertebral body to the one above it, and it will look like a shoot of bamboo. And so the radiologists have coined the term a bamboo spine is sort of a middle range radiologic manifestation of ankylosing spondylitis. But that usually is occurring when somebody's already suffered 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years, maybe a decade. Maybe now they're in their early 30s.
And that's why you're here today, to kind of bring this to people's attention too. When you see a patient with ankylosing spondylitis, are they in pretty bad shape?
Well, if they show up in their 20s, they have limited movement, but then you put them on treatment and mm-hmm. you can get their movement right back to normal. The itis in spondylitis means inflammation. Ankylosing means bending over or making the back crooked. And so there are now ways to help that patient to limit that damage, limit that inflammation.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I tell you what, we've already talked about this for 10 minutes. Dr. Goodman, you want to open up the phone lines?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. So if you're suffering from back pain right now, you would like to know some ways that you could possibly treat that, more specifically if it could be ankylosing spondylitis, give us a call right now. Let's open them up. 319-219-4569. Real simple. Give us a call. Talk to Dr. Goodman. Ask him the question that you would like and get the answer from the pro. Dr. Goodman, too, I think it's fascinating how different. I mean, it's not just back pain. It's not just muscles. It's not just bones. How do you go about, you know, as a rheumatologist, deciphering that this is what is the problem versus, you know, a degenerative arthritis or something like that?
Well, first of all, Nate, it would be asking those questions and listening for, hey, you know, is the person in front of you, if they're a 60-year-old and if they were working in their yard and they're putting out a lot of fertilizer or lifting up over and over 50-pound sacks of peat moss or potting soil, and they're doing that and bending over in their garden, doing those kinds of activities, or shoveling snow or ice,
as many
in the Arklatex were doing yesterday and the day before, those people would notice pain at the end of that activity, later in the day. And so the rheumatologist would be listening for that kind of symptom. On the other hand, if you have a person who is saying, you know, when I get up in the first thing in the morning, I am so stiff, I can hardly feel like I can get out of bed. And it doesn't lumber up until about 11 o'clock or noon. The doctor would then maybe do x-rays. They might do lab tests, and there are certain lab tests that give us a clue that there's unexplained inflammation going on in the body. These lab tests are common. One is called the sedimentation rate, or sed rate for short, and the other is called the C-reactive protein, or sometimes abbreviated CRP. So those sed rates and those C-reactive proteins will be elevated, and then the doctor says, wait a minute, that history is a little bit different from normal everyday back pain. Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned, or may be important to mention, that everyday back pain occurs in 50, 60, maybe 70% of us at some point in our lives. But ankylosing spondylitis may be one person in 300, one person in 500. So the doctor is used to expecting the back pain to be mechanical. They hear some of these symptoms. They say, maybe I ought to get a sed rate. Maybe I ought to get a C-reactive protein. Let me look at the x-rays. And then you start to bring together this clinical picture that this type of back pain is a bit different. This type of back pain maybe might respond to these new medicines that are used to treat ankylosing spondylitis. In ankylosing spondylitis, we've borrowed some of the medicines that are used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, like Enbrel and Humira and so forth. But I think we have a caller on the line, Nate, and
Absolutely.
We'll bring her into the conversation.
Let's do that. This is a show dedicated for you, our viewers, in getting the answers you're looking for. And we do have our first caller on the line. Jen, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Goodman?
Hello, go ahead.
Jen, you're breaking up just a little bit. Tell you what, if you can get better reception, Jen, hang up, maybe give us a call back.
I'm not going to. Okay.
I think we got you.
219-45. Hey, are you, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, we got you now, Jen. Go ahead.
Okay. It's Jean. It's actually Jean or Garen, but I dropped the Garen. Hey, Dr. Goodman, you remember me?
I don't think I do right offhand, but what's your question, Jean?
But anyway, I have muscle spasms in my back, and I have a dog, and I have muscle spasms in my back, and I've been taking muscle relaxers like every 6 to 8 hours. But what do you suggest I do?
Do you occasionally pick up your dog?
uh-oh.
How much does she, I hear a dog back in the background. How much does the dog weigh?
7 pounds. It's not lifting the dog. That's okay. Not the cause of my muscle
right.
spasm.
Anyway, it sounds like it is that it may be more mechanical back pain. But mechanical back pain is traditionally treated with Tylenol. It's treated with hot and cold when you just have injured your back. Ice is good, but as it's been more prolonged, heat is better. Massage and massage therapy can be very helpful. Physical therapy is also important. Then I heard you say you're taking muscle relaxers. So traditionally, muscle relaxers and classic non-steroidal anti-inflammatories would be used. So it's usually physical therapy, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and muscle relaxers are often used for your type of mechanical back pain. If it was inflammatory back pain like ankylosing spondylitis, then we would open the door for medicines like Humira, Enbrel, Cosentyx that are used for both rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis. They also are used for ankylosing spondylitis. For everyday mechanical back pain, those medicines don't really help.
Well, there you go, Gene.
Okay.
Thanks.
And those things show up on an X-ray. That's how you're able to diagnose whether you have one of those big words you just said.
Sometimes on X-ray. X-rays can be an important initial image, but sometimes you need MRIs to get to the bottom of some of this.
Yes.
Because in mechanical back pain, a plain X-ray won't see disc material and won't see nerves that could be irritated or pinched. In inflammatory back pain, in early stages, you might need an MRI to look at that sacroiliac joint to see if it is inflamed. In later stages, both inflammatory back pain, such as ankylosing spondylitis and osteoarthritis or degenerative back pain, can be distinguished on X-ray as well. But thanks for your call.
I did have an MRI. I did have an MRI, but all right. Thank you.
All right.
Come back
thanks.
To you. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Gene.
Yes, thank you for the call. And let's go back to the phone lines. We do want to also give you a heads up, too. We got a lot of people calling in. If you are on the line right now, stay tuned. I promise we will get to your call in just a couple of minutes with Dr. Goodman. But let's go back to the phone lines. We have Kathy next on the line. Kathy, what's your question for Dr. Goodman?
Hello, Kathy.
It's actually Cassie, K-A-S-S-I-E.
Oh, Cassie.
Hello, Dr. Goodman.
Hi, Cassie.
I'm a 52-year-old female. I was diagnosed with this issue years ago. I had my first lower back surgery in 2009. Since then, I've had my neck done. Nobody's ever put me on any type of medication for the arthritis part of it. My back continuously is worse. I live with pain on a daily basis. Now I'm having severe gastrointestinal issues, as well as some skin condition problems. So I'm wondering if this is an avenue that I have just not been pointed down through all of this.
Yeah, it is possible that if the skin conditions that you're describing are due to appear to be psoriasis, then psoriasis occurs at an increased incidence with ankylosing spondylitis. And in fact, some doctors, when they have inflammatory back pain and psoriasis, they will call it psoriatic spondylitis. Others will call it ankylosing spondylitis. But earlier in our broadcast, we talked about how ankylosing spondylitis, psoriasis, psoriatic arthritis all can blend together. Those types of inflammatory conditions can benefit dramatically from some of the newer biologics. The first generation of biologics that are used for these diseases was the TNF blockers. Humira and Enbrel are classic there. Newer generations of biologics that are used for psoriatic arthritis, such as Cosentyx, is also used for ankylosing spondylitis. And the newest group, the interleukin-23 group, can be dramatically helpful for those ankylosing spondylitis patients. Now, the more common osteoarthritis, those medicines don't help very much. Osteoarthritis can traditionally be treated with classic non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, but if Cassie, you're already having stomach pain, the second thing out of the mouth of the doctor prescribing classic non-steroidals is it could upset your stomach. Those conditions might also be treated with classic muscle relaxers. They might be treated with a medicine called duloxetine, but sometimes an MRI to see if they if a person has a pinched nerve. But that's a fairly complicated workup, and I don't dare to attempt to diagnose you, Cassie, on the on television. However, those are some of the questions that a doctor might ask. And that's what rheumatologists do. We try to sort that out. Is this patient more a mechanical back pain? Is there more an inflammatory back pain? Might you benefit from those modern biologic medicines? Might they be dramatically helpful? But those are questions. Rheumatologists do that all the time, and that's what our bread and butter is. I hope that's helpful,
yes,
Cassie.
Sir. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right. Love to hear that we are answering your questions. Again, this is the show that is dedicated to you, our viewers, and helping you live a better, healthier, and pain-free life. That's what it's all about. Dr. Goodman answering your questions today. Let's get right back to the phone lines right now. Miss Shepherd, thank you for joining us. What's your question for Dr. Goodman? Oh, I'm being told Miss Shepherd is off the line right now. Do we want to go back to the phone lines? Sheila. Okay, Sheila, you're next on deck. What's your question for Dr. Goodman?
Yes. I want to say hello.
Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Dr. Goodman. I was diagnosed in April of 22 as having a condition called spondylolisthesis.
Spondylolisthesis?
And I was wondering, I was wondering if that's the same thing. And the doctor's telling me I would have to have surgery. And put rods and screws in my back eventually, and I'm trying to avoid that. Is there any way I do have pain when I get up in the morning and stand up, pain go down my leg, my buttocks, my lower back, but as I walk and move about, it eases it. I don't want to have this.
Thank you for that call. Spondylolisthesis is under the subset of osteoarthritis or degenerative arthritis. And what happens is a person's spine goes down and then there will be a jag in the spine. That is, maybe lumbar vertebra 4 might be 4 or 5 millimeters in front of or anterior to lumbar vertebra 5. And so there's this kink in the back. That kink, that problem can pinch the nerve right there at that location. Have you been told a certain level or that you have this spondylolisthesis?
I was just told that the lower L4 and L5 mm-hmm. both are pressing on both sides of those nerves.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what's causing
L4 and
L5.
L5 and mm-hmm. S1 are the most common causes of spondylolisthesis. It can be helped to a modest effect by medications, but a lot of times that has to be realigned by the orthopedic surgeon, and that's where we would rely on our orthopedic surgery colleagues. They would do MRIs and other images of that area to see if it is pinching, and if it is, they might have to realign it. And literally, they are going to push if L4 is maybe a quarter or a half an inch in front of L5, they're going to have to push L4 back to align with L5. They're going to have to then stabilize that in some way, and that may be rods and cages, and they might have to go completely around that level to realign it. That is not done in everybody with spondylolisthesis, but many times that's required so that you don't pinch a nerve, so that you don't have paralysis downstream from the area that is pinched. But thank you for that call. I wish
thank
I had
you.
A magic pill to cure spondylolisthesis, but that's going to be probably in the purview of our orthopedic and spine surgery colleagues.
All right, Sheila, hopefully that cleared things up for you too. And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to tell you how you can reach out to Dr. Goodman if you have further questions. But trying to get everybody in right now, let's get back to the phone lines. Alfonso, what's your question for Dr. Goodman? Good afternoon.
Hello, Alfonso.
What's your question for Dr. Goodman? And good afternoon. Good afternoon, doctor.
Well, thanks for calling.
Appreciate your work. What I was calling about is I have a degenerative type of thing going on with my lower spine that I was told by a doctor. I feared any surgery, so I kind of veered away from it. But since I've been coming up as a kid, through x-rays I've seen where my lower spine is shaped like an S. It protrudes out a little towards my stomach more. And
did you say shape
like a deep arc,
like an S, did you say,
on my back?
It sounds like you may have scoliosis, and that is an S-shaped curve in the spine that's not supposed to be there. That S-shaped curve can affect the anatomy or the shape of the bones and the discs and cause bone spurs. And so a complication of scoliosis, a common complication of scoliosis, is greater wear and tear on those discs, and that would be degenerative disc disease or osteoarthritis that is due to scoliosis, or it might be due to spondylolisthesis, like our previous caller. But those are more the wear and tear types of arthritis. I wish we as rheumatologists had more avenues to help patients with that kind of problem. We do have medicines. They are limited. They can help the pain. We do not have a medicine that changed the shape of your back that removes any bone spurs or reestablishes the heights of worn out discs. But I hope that's helpful to you, Alfonso.
Alrighty, Alfonso, we do appreciate your call, buddy. And
thanks for the call.
Yeah, I appreciate wish you the best. Alrighty. Well, we do thank Alfonso, and we thank all of our viewers that have given us a call. We're going to start wrapping things up here, just about 2 minutes to go. But real fast, let's take one more call. James, you're the last one. Real quick, what's your question for Dr. Goodman?
Hello, James.
Hello, doctor. My question is about my back. I'm 75 years old, and about 6 months ago, I had excruciating pain where I couldn't walk. They tried to put me in the MRI tube, and I couldn't lay flat on my back. They gave me pain medication to try to help me, but it never did do anything for me. And I was told later on that I have a nerve in your back, and it goes down my leg all the way down to my ankle. So that pain, and then feel like there's needles in there.
It sounds like you're suffering from a complication of osteoarthritis or degenerative arthritis. When those discs are out of place, when those bone spurs develop, they could pinch their next door neighbor, which is a nerve, and that causes, and that's the sciatic nerve that goes down the leg. But that is more of the mechanical back pain. But thank you for the call. I would follow the directions of your orthopedic surgeon or your primary care doctor on that one.
Well, Dr. Goodman, we took a lot of calls today, and if we didn't get a chance to answer your questions, we do appreciate it. We're going to have Dr. Goodman back on in just a couple of weeks. But at this time, Dr. Goodman, are you taking patients? And if so, how can people reach out to you and get those questions that they may have answered?
I am, and they can reach out at 318-424-9240. That's 424-9240 in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm at 740 Jordan Street. Right in the middle of downtown, close to the intersection of I-49 and I-20.
And you can help people in a wide range of things, not only with today's topic too, but arthritis. I know you and I have talked about rheumatoid arthritis. Smart guy. Check him out. He knows what's going on and can help you live a pain-free life. Dr. Robert Goodman of the Arthritis and Rheumatology Clinic, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And that was another Healthline 3. Have a happy and a healthy day.